I'm John Moore. This is Exposition, an arts and culture podcast, and speaking with Andy Tanis, and he is the guest coming up on September 4th for Tunes at Twilight here in downtown Cape at Ivor Square Gazebo. Welcome.
Thanks so much.
Have you been playing kind of in the area recently, or what have you been up to since last year?
Well, to be honest with you, we had to cancel last year due to tornadic weather.
That's right. That's right. I almost forgot about that. That's right. Yeah.
And we talked about it the day before, and I think the day of the show, we decided that it was a really bad idea. So, but I was so disappointed too. I mean, I can't tell you how disappointed I was.
Yeah. Well, it looks like your typical summer weather, but no more than that is from what I'm seeing. So,
I'm thinking 94 degrees maybe, which late afternoon should be in the maybe upper 80s. It should be a great show. It should be a fun day.
Songs from the New South. Tell me a little bit about that. I guess that is your latest CD. Is that correct?
Well, if you consider the latest being 22 years
ago. Oh, my. Okay.
I released it in 2004.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And I toured on it for about 10 years. And then eventually, I mean, it just kind of ran its course. And that was that. I wanted to do another one, but just too many distractions and drama and just things that were out of my control. Kind of stopped me from doing that. I've got enough songs to do another one now, so I'm hoping that maybe sometime in the next year I can go back in and do another one.
Well, certainly, looking forward to it. And, you know, if people aren't quite familiar with your name, they're probably going to recognize the band Crocus. You know, that might be when they heard you the most, I suppose. A look back at your time in Crocus. What led you to strike out on your own a few years back?
You want the truth? The truth is, I didn't relate to the business anymore. I didn't like the people I was involved with, and it just, I mean, I had been doing that. You know, I left that project in summer of '85 because they made a decision to take a direction that I knew was going to fail, and ultimately it did, and it broke my heart to see that, but I knew it was going to happen because I had been through that before with Black Oak, Arkansas, you know. And so I just kind of decided that, you know, I just want to be an indie artist, and I just don't want to play that game anymore.
Well, certainly a lot of people have done that, and they have a little more control over what they're able to do. What are some, I think you're based out of Memphis, is that correct? Or where are you now?
A little town called Bartlett, yeah.
Okay, all right. So what are you up to these days?
I tour about two or three nights a week, solo acoustic. I've been doing that for about 20 years now, and I really like it. I mean, I really enjoy it. I'm getting older. I mean, I'm 72 now, so the driving kind of gets to me a little bit, and the hours, and of course the road food will kill you eventually, But I still love, I just love the freedom of just me up there with acoustic guitar, you know, just winging it, you know, and entertaining people. When I started doing it and when I started getting pretty adept at it, I enjoyed it more as much as I did when I was in my, you know, teens or early 20s.
What do we have to look forward to coming up on September 4th? It's going to be Labor Day weekend. Going to be a busy weekend. Lots of stuff going on.
I think so. Yeah, it should be great. It should be a great day. I think I do a very diverse, eclectic song list. I'm really proficient at taking songs and just, you know, making them my own. And people like it for some reason. It's caught on. You know, when I started doing this in 2005, there weren't a whole lot of people that were making the songs, you know, kind of their own little creation. And so I kind of got to see that grow over time. And it's just become something that I really enjoy now. And people love it. It keeps me busy, you know. But aside from that, I've been working on a series of memoirs since 2021, since right after COVID. And I'm about to release my first book.
Okay. So that sounds like that's certainly kept you busy. And you know, deciding what what stories are appropriate maybe to keep in that that memoir and in that book, and which ones you want to expand on. I'm sure there's many stories from the row that you are kind of combing through to try to see which ones fit, right?
Well, one starts out talking about the current state of rock these days, and the current state of radio, and what's happened, I think, you know, over the last 30 years. I mean, it talks about that, and then I go into some personal stuff, you know, this massive heart attack that I had back in 2020 that almost took me out. You know, matter of fact, it did kind of take me out for a few seconds, you know, but I somehow, you know, just thankfully I survived that, you know. It goes into that, and it goes into just, you know, having to let go of a lot of animosity and a lot of baggage that I was carrying from the rock star days, you know, going back to even when I worked for Lynyrd Skynyrd on the sound crew, you know, and my love-hate relationship with Memphis and how hard it was to get started. And if it hadn't been for the Lynyrd Skynyrd tour, working on the sound crew in 1975, I don't know what I would have done, to be honest with you. But that's the second book in the memoir. The first one is about growing up in Memphis, my crazy family, and what it was like, you know, trying to get into the Memphis scene in the early 70s that was basically kind of winding down, you know, from what we had in the 50s and 60s. So it talked about that, and then the people I met along the way, and there were some great characters. I mean, you know, just people I met, you know, through happenstance, you know. And book two talks about nothing but the Skynyrd tour. And I did a brief tour with Jerry Lee Lewis, working sound for him, and oh, that was insane.
I can imagine.
That was maybe I can't. Absolutely insane. And then after that, you know, I just kind of didn't know what I wanted to do, you know, because every door shut in my face, and it seemed like I was just hitting one brick wall after the other. And then the Black Oak Arkansas thing came along, you know, and then I did that for 3 years, and then lived in L.A. for 4 years and worked out there and made a lot of friends and had a great time. And then the Crocus thing came along in 84. And I thought, well, you know, I said, I think I'm ready to go back out there and do this. And then I just watched that just dramatically die a horrible death, you know, which broke my heart because I really had a lot of faith in that band. I really did. I had a whole lot of faith and promise in that band. And then I just kind of watched it implode due to bad decisions. And then next thing I know, I mean, they're being made fun of by Beavis and Butthead, which is kind of funny because yeah. I really thought that I had doubt if I had made the right decision leaving that band or not. And then when I saw what happened with MTV and Beavis and Butthead, I knew then I had made the right choice. And then I saw them, and I think it was 89, and they were doing a club tour, and they were all broke and miserable. And I said, well, I know I did the right thing now, you know, because I didn't want to be – I was already on the Titanic when Black Oaks sank, and I didn't want to be on another one.
Yeah. How do you feel like you most reach your audience now? What's the easiest way that you find that you can reach your audience?
Well, social media, I mean, is a big plus. I mean, as far as, like, you know, a notification of shows and what I'm doing and just keeping some kind of profile out there, you know, what you're doing. But it kind of ends there for me. I'm not a big fan of it. I mean, because I think it's dumbing people down in some weird way, because, I mean, I think it's making it easier for people not to go out and hear live music. All they have to do is watch a video or you know, and I mentioned this in the book. And, you know, whatever I play, I get a whole lot of likes. I get a lot of likes and loves and people encouraging me, but they never show up, you know. And I think COVID had a lot to do with that, to be honest with you.
So you really saw things change for you. I mean, a lot of artists did see this, a lot of the same things happen during that time. And afterward, they saw a lot of access, you know, through video. It's, you know, very easy. All you have to do is click and you're watching that artist, your favorite artist perform, and you don't have to get in the car. You don't have to drive anywhere. You don't have
COVID
that pay.
Made it convenient for people to de-socialize.
Mm, yeah.
You know, and then now you're seeing all these videos of how crazy people act in public. And I think that keeps people away too, but I mean, I still have good crowds. Like this past week, I played in Somerville at this amazing little place called Raven and Lily, and the place was packed. You know, and so I think, you know, with the price of food, the price of gas now, I think that's another deterrent for people, you know. But COVID did a real hatchet job on people going out.
Yeah, I think a lot of people saw that. That same thing goes for just about any sort of live entertainment. A lot of festivals, I know, I'm sure you're very well aware of. It's probably been many years since you've been a part of a larger festival, but, you know, a lot of festivals have kind of, you know, gone by the wayside, or they've decided to take a break, a very extended break.
Bonnaroo just did
that. That's right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
And that's a shame because, I mean, I don't know, but in the book, you know, I mentioned that, you know, that rock, you know, that rock and roll as we know it has had a 70 plus year run, you know, which is more than the big band era, you know. But at the same time, I really think it's kind of winding down because I don't see a whole lot of young people playing classic rock. And mostly, I mean, when I do see videos of classic rock bands, it's usually guys my age that are doing it. I don't think that has a whole lot of appeal for somebody in their 20s, you know, or you know, 30s or whatever. I think it's basically kind of on its last leg, you know, but that's okay because we had a 70 plus year run, you know, and you have a 60 year catalog of classic rock to choose from. So I think it's going to be around in some shape or form for a long time. But as far as like the heyday of it, I think it's pretty much over.
Well, certainly more to talk with you about. But so people can check out your music before the show. Where can they go?
I'm on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify. I'm pretty much on all the heavies out there. You just search my name. It'll take you right to the record. I've been listening to that record. I kind of drifted away from it for a few years because I thought it kind of run its course, but then I started listening to it again, and plus some old videos that I did back in the 90s prior to the CD, and it kind of piqued my interest again, you know. And, you know, I got so bored during COVID that, you know, because I wasn't working, I wasn't going out, you know, all my gigs had been canceled. And so I just started writing, and next thing I knew, I wrote 4 books, a screenplay, and enough songs for probably a CD and a half or a record and a half, you know. And now I'm thinking that maybe it might be a good time to throw that stuff out there and see if it sticks, you know, see what happens with it. I don't know. I have a much bigger following now through social media, so you never know. And I'm hoping that the book does something, you know, through that. There seems to be a lot of interest on social media about it, you know, and I know some of the people I work with are a little concerned about it.
What's the name of the book, or is there a title yet?
The memoir is a 3-part memoir called The Aging Rocker Remembers. And book one is called Fraser Days and Memphitis. It deals with growing up in Fraser, which was a little redneck kind of lower middle class area. Matter of fact, it's known in Memphis as the redneck capital of the universe, you know, what it was for years, you know, but it deals with growing up there and then coming to Memphis and at a time that was just really, really bad, you know, to try to get a career going, you know. Plus, Memphis had become real cliquish during that time. So it deals with a lot of that. And then it talks about the Skinner thing happening. And then book two picks up from there. And taste it from that point.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, looking forward to that. And we'll see you on September 4th. That is the start of Labor Day weekend here in Cape, Old Town Cape. And that is at the Ivor Square Gazebo beginning at 6:30 p.m. Thanks for speaking with me.
I'm looking forward to it, man. Nice talking with you, John.